1 Corinthians chapter 10. And as you are turning there, let's recap. We are answering the question, who am I, in each of the sessions. So what have we said so far? What have we said? Who are we? The first night, who remembers what we said the first night? Yes.
We are God's creation.
What did we say yesterday, right? Yesterday, yes, yesterday. What day is this?
Saturday.
Okay, so there was Friday. Eh? What did we learn on Friday, yesterday? Yes.
We are sinners.
And then last night? Yes.
We learned that we are saved by God's grace and
mercy. Okay, and this morning?
We are a new creation.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Now let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Now let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Now grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction. Upon them the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Now, we've seen that we are slaves to sin by nature, and we are sinners by nature, and everything we do before salvation is sinful and is totally unacceptable before the sight of God. And we also saw that we need to be growing and putting off the old self, renewing our minds and putting on the new man, and daily changing into the image of Jesus Christ and becoming like Christ each day of our lives. But there is still the problem of sin. We still are daily tempted to sin. There's still a struggle, as we saw in Galatians 5, between the spirit and the flesh. And even though sin wears us down, even though we are daily tempted, we can still overcome. It is possible to overcome sin. You see, it's very possible to be discouraged by sin. It's very possible to face temptation so much that you actually give up and say, I cannot stop sinning. I cannot help it but sin. So this evening, I want to encourage you and say, if you are truly saved, you can actually overcome sin. It is possible to overcome.
And I'd like to show you that the Bible actually teaches that we should be overcoming sinners. We should be overcoming sin, rather. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul goes back and tries to remind the Corinthians to learn from the examples of the children of Israel and not make the same mistakes they made. And he actually tells them twice that these things were written for our examples. I mean, they are the record of what they did and how they lived and how they sinned is actually there for us, so that when we see and learn and watch how they did and what they did, we shouldn't do the same. We should learn from their lives and their mistakes. And they particularly committed four sins. I mean, it's four things that he highlights. He says, do not be idolaters. Do not worship anything other than God. Nothing should get your attention other than God. Nothing should be first in your life. I mean, whatever preoccupies you, whatever is first in your life, whatever you think you can't live without, is your God. So he says, do not worship idols. He also says, do not be immoral, like they did, and many of them suffered for it. He also says, do not try the Lord. Do not test the Lord. Do not think God is not faithful. But he also says, do not grumble or murmur or complain, as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. So he says, in this way, do not live a sinful life like they did. Do not be guilty of the same sin. And then he gives them a reason. He gives them hope. I mean, if he leaves them there and say, here's what they did, don't do what they did, It will be pretty hopeless. It will be a hopeless message. Because we all know what sin is. So knowing sin and not sinning is not the same thing. It's not enough to just say, hey, don't sin. That's not enough. And Paul doesn't end there. He gives them hope. He tells them how they can actually overcome sin, how they can become overcomers, how they can endure sin. No, how they can endure temptation, sorry. And the first thing he says is, don't be proud. Don't be proud. Remember who you are. Remember your weaknesses. Don't be proud. Verse 12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Other versions say, let him who thinks he's strong take heed lest he falls. If you are going to overcome temptation in your life, if you are going to overcome sin and endure temptation, You need to have an honest evaluation of yourself. You need to realize and acknowledge your weaknesses. You need to have a certain spiritual poverty, if you'd like. I mean, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who acknowledge their weakness. Those who acknowledge that they are not that strong. He says, take heed. It's possible to read and hear what these people did, and you are thinking, what kind of people were these, Kanshi? I mean, even after they crossed the Red Sea, they saw that miracle. I mean, water parting. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? I mean, have you ever imagined? I don't know if your imagination is as good as mine. I always imagine. Can you imagine walking across the Red Sea on dry ground? There's water this side, water this side, and it's parted, and you're walking. I mean, can you imagine? I wonder if you could actually touch the water and see if it will fall back, you know? They did that. They experienced that. And when they got to the other side, God was with them. During the day, He was a pillar of cloud. During the night, a pillar of fire. And can you imagine manna falling from heaven? Can you imagine that? He was with them, and they still continued sinning. I mean, Moses goes right, a few days after crossing the Red Sea, Moses goes up the mountain. They say, you should have left us in Egypt eating onion. You brought us here to die. And they're saying, what's wrong with these people? It's very easy to look at this and say, these were sinners, I tell you. If I was there, I would have been different. Oh, it's easy to think, but Adam, why? Sure, Adam, why? Why, Adam? Surely he just couldn't endure. And it's very easy to think you are very strong. It's very easy. It's very easy to have an inflated view of yourself. And Paul is saying, if you're actually going to stand, if you're going to be able to overcome sin, you need to be humble. Don't be proud. What does the Bible say? Pride goes before a fall. Pride always goes before a fall. And there's the moment we begin to think we can kind of play around with the devil and play around with sin and dance with the with sin and kind of know you know I know my limits, I know myself. Isn't that what we say? Oh, I know myself, I can't do that. Listen, every one of us is capable of committing any sin given the chance and the opportunity. Did you hear what I said? Everyone here is capable of committing any sin given the chance and the opportunity. Now you're thinking, no, I can't kill anyone. No. I can't be a serial killer. How many people have you hated in your life? Because the Bible says, if you hate your brother, you've committed murder. You've just not had the opportunity to strangle their neck and choke the life out of them. So because you've not had the opportunity, it just bends inside. Eh? You see them coming this side, you even say, Any one of us is capable of committing any sin given the chance and the opportunity. And that should be our view of ourselves. So let's take heed. Let's not, if you think you are strong, if you think you are a very good Christian, if you think you know you're actually quite good, you're pretty good, your record, your CV is good. If that's your thinking, take heed. Because you might fall. Take heed. Let him who thinks he is strong take heed lest he falls. Pride, spiritual pride, is very dangerous. It's very dangerous. So here's every youth camp. Whenever there is Q&A, here's one question that never misses. Every year, wherever youth camp I'm at and there's Q&A, here's a question that is always there, always. Is it sin to kiss? Always. It doesn't matter whether the campers are from Lusaka, from Kitwe, from Chingola, it doesn't matter where they are from, as long as they are campers, it's always there. And you know, is it sin? Where in the Bible? So 2 weeks ago I was teaching a group of people who We are rather very opinionated. Okay, they had no problems opposing. I mean, most times as Zambians, as well as young people, I mean, we pretend. Even if you don't agree with what the guy is saying, you pretend, you die inside. That's what I mean. I think we smile and like in your heart you're saying he's lying. But we never say. But this group of people, I mean, I'll be teaching and I'm busy going and I think I'm flowing and I'm communicating and it says, wait. Like, yes, this guy disagrees with me. 5 minutes later, another one, no. And very, I mean, very in your face. They are like right there. They want to tell you you are wrong. The kissing question comes up. Is it wrong to kiss? So I said, let him who thinks he's strong take heed lest he falls. No, just tell us. I said, let him who thinks he's strong take heed lest he falls. If you think you can play with fire and get away with it, you are in for a shock. It will burn you. I mean, playing with sin, guys, is like, you know, you are drenched in paraffin. And then you go playing with matches. You are playing and you are drenched in paraffin and you are busy playing with fire. And look at me, I'm cool. You know, I know what I'm doing. I'm an expert. I know myself. I trust myself. Continue. Before long, you will catch fire. Don't be proud. I mean, if you're going to overcome sin, you need to acknowledge your weakness. We need to be honest with ourselves and acknowledge that in our hearts we are weak. We are sinners and we are easily tempted. We are easily lured by sin. And we therefore need to be alert. We need to be sober. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that your brethren are facing the same trial. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There is nothing like, negotiate, you know, you need to know, just know where the line is, and if the line is here, you can get as close as you can, and it's okay, you know, there is sin here, it's okay. So get as close as you can to the edge, and you know, start jumping around, and you know, because you know yourself. Let him who thinks he's strong take heed lest he falls. Jesus Christ gave parable of two men who went to the temple. One was a religious leader, a Pharisee. He knew the law. I mean, he knew God's word inside out. And this guy goes to pray. And his prayer is, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like that sinner, the tax collector over there. Hypocrite. I tithe. You know, and he goes on laying his CV. And the tax collector, beating his chest, failing to even look up to heaven, says, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I'm unworthy. That should be our attitude. If we're going to overcome sin and overcome temptation, we need to be humble. Acknowledge our weakness. Realize that we are actually not strong. But number two, you should always remember that no temptation is unique to you. Notice what he says. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. There is no temptation that is unique to you. I mean, you can't say, you know, I just don't know. I mean, for me, the temptations that I get are just unique. They are too strong. I just can't help but sin. You are not the only one. It's the same temptations all out, throughout. So you can be assured that there is no unique temptation. I mean, it's the same. It's the same temptation. And that, therefore, it can be overcome. I mean, there is nothing new. There is nothing new. We are all tempted when we are drawn away by our sinful desires. It's nothing new. The same tricks the devil used on Eve is the same trick he uses today. Has God really said? Has he? No, that's not true. God wasn't serious. Does God really see? Is he really watching you? You are alone. God is not watching you. No one will find out. Isn't that our thinking? Oh, just try a bit. Just a bit. Just this one time. This one time. It's nothing new. So no temptation is unique to us. It's what is faced throughout. And because it's the same tricks, it's the same tactics, it means we can come up with a defense. We can come up with a way of withstanding. We can come up with a way of overcoming. And actually, God's word tells us how we should do that. He's already told us the tricks of the devil. He's already told us that we actually sin and are tempted when we are drawn away by our own desires. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Romans 14 verse 13. No temptation is unique. It's not. I mean, nothing is new under the sun. And you see, there are people who seem to specialize in the operations of the devil, you see? And they seem to somehow know the new tricks of the devil and how that, you know, they start telling you things like at 02 is when the forces of... It's very simple. We are tempted when we are drawn by our own fleshly desires. Maybe let's read that verse. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. So Paul says, remember, no temptation is unique to man. The same way the children of Israel were tempted then is the same way you are tempted now. Same way. I mean, aren't we all tempted to complain and grumble? Don't we complain and grumble? We do. Don't we test God? Don't we doubt God? We do. Are we immoral in our behavior? We are. Do we have idols in our lives? Yes, we do. And guess what? Thousands of years ago, that's exactly the problem they had. Same temptation. So nothing is new. No temptation is unique. So never think yours is too much or too great or too big. It is the same temptation. Everyone is tempted the same way. Everyone. We all struggle with the same sins. We all do. Some more than others, but we all do. We are all tempted by the same. You see, it's very easy to put up a front when you are at church, and you know, everyone looks holy at church. Have you noticed how everyone looks holy? You know, we dress nice, we put on our best behavior with our best smiles and our best look, and you know, you are all very behaved, and you know, we sing holy songs, we talk holy talk, and you even our greeting is holy, and everything, our walks are very holy, and we are very behaved. We carry our Bibles in a holy way. It's very easy to pretend. And it's very easy to start looking at people and say, that one is never tempted. That one looks very intact. It's very people to think they are people who are beyond temptation, they are above temptation. And when you said, when you start talking and the language is pretentious and noise well, and you know what I mean? We Christians, I mean, we are the worst pretenders in the world. We meet someone is seriously struggling with sin, and you meet, how are you, brother? Very well, very well, very well, thank you. The Lord is good, the Lord is good. And this guy is deep in sin. But oh, very well, very well, very well. And when you are looking around every year, every day, all you hear is very well, very well, very well. The Lord is good. The Lord is blessing us very well. Next Sunday, very well, very well. The whole year ends very well, very well. And you, while you are struggling, you start saying, "Am I the only one?" So you also join in. Very well, very well, very well. But we need to remember, always remember, you are not the only one who's been tempted. You are not the only one who struggles with temptation. We all struggle with temptation. Yes, even preachers, you know that? You know preachers struggle with temptation. Huh? You know, eh? Yeah, it's a secret. So no temptation is unique to you. Remember, we are all tempted when we are drawn by our lusts and our sinful desires. It's very hard to catch a monkey. It's very hard to catch a monkey. So what hunters and farmers started doing years back, they discovered an easy way to catch a monkey. They would get a jar or a calabash and put nuts in it. They are particular nuts that monkeys love. And they would put the jar or the calabash in the open, and the monkey will see the and smell the nuts. And it will go for the nuts. And it will put its hand in, grab a handful of nuts. But because it's clenched its fist, the opening is only small enough. It has to let go. Okay, it can't bring its hand out. Now, because the monkey desperately wants those nuts, it will fight and won't want to let go of the nuts. And when the farmers or the hunters hear the noise, because you know it's trying and struggling and trying to remove its hand, they start coming. And the monkey can see the hunters coming. And all it has to do is let go of the nuts and free itself. But it badly wants the nuts. It holds on to the nuts. And it will keep struggling and keep struggling and wants to force its way out until it's captured. That easy. Was the monkey trapped? No, it wasn't. It was free to go, but it kept on holding to the nuts. And that's exactly what we do with sin. We convince ourselves that we can't let go. We just have to. Even when we know the damage, we know the end, we know where it's leading us, but we keep holding on. And even when the danger signs and we hear the warnings, but we keep holding on. We are all tempted when we are drawn by our own sinful desires. So do not be proud. No temptation is unique to you. But notice that God gives the ability to overcome. It says, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. So here's the encouragement. You will never be tempted beyond what you can handle. With every temptation that comes your way, God gives the way of escape. And notice it says God is faithful. God is faithful. That's how gracious He is. He never allows any one of us to be tempted beyond what we can handle. And isn't it true that every time we sin, when we are being tempted and lured, we always know the solution, right? Yes. We always do. I mean, even before you click that button, before you click on that site, your conscience is speaking to you. It's saying, no. Don't, no. You start reasoning with yourself. Right? God is very gracious and faithful to us. He gives and provides a way of escape, and He enables us to overcome that temptation. He does. And that's why He gave us His word. Now guys, if we were told, no, just overcome, you know, just overcome, just endure, the devil is a liar, just endure, you know, stamp on Kasatana, and you know, we are rolling on, you know, Kasatana ni kukagwila na kukaponda puna kukataya uko, you know, if that was the message, it would be very discouraging. Because the Kasatan has been pondered for years and we still keep falling. He's been thrown for years. I mean, now if he's thrown, how does he come back? But here's why we can overcome. Not because we are good. Not because we are strong. Not because we are able. But because God is faithful. God is faithful. And with every temptation that comes our way, He provides a way of escape. His grace is sufficient even in the temptation. So we can overcome. We should overcome. We must overcome. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So God is faithful. He provides a way. He gives us the grace and the means of escape. That therefore means there is no sin that can be justified. No sin that can be justified. When we sin, it's because we've chosen to. I understand peer pressure. Yes, there's peer pressure. But friends, I mean, unless someone puts a gun to your head, even then you still have a choice. You can say, kill me, I won't sin. But every time we sin, we choose to. We choose to. And there's this thinking today, which is very dangerous, where people don't want to get to take responsibility for their action. Someone sins and then they say something like this, I don't know what came over me. No, the reason you don't know what came over you is because nothing came over you. You are okay. You just made a decision. You know, it's not me. I just don't understand. No, it's you. We need to own up to our actions and be able to say, when you sin, you should be able to say, I've sinned. You know, I've sinned. Because with the temptation, you had the way out. You had a choice to make. And every day we are making choices. We make a choice to either please God or sin. And the Bible is saying, for those who are God's children, God gives the ability to overcome. He gives them the ability to please him. He is faithful like that. So what choices are you making? Well, what choices are you making in your life? Are you overcoming temptation by the grace of God? Are you overcoming sin by the grace of God? Are you? Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, familiar passage, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Verse 14, stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Where do we find truth? The truth of God's word. Where am I? Verse 14. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. In short, here's how you overcome. Begins with salvation and daily putting off, renewing, putting on. What we learned this morning. That's how you overcome. There is no secret formula to overcoming sin, to living a holy life. There is no five steps to overcoming sin. There's nothing like that. How shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to his word. So guys, I wouldn't want anyone here to be discouraged. Because sin can be very discouraging. When you succumb to sin and to temptation, you can easily be discouraged. And when you look at others and how they are putting up a front and keeping up appearances, you start thinking, maybe I'm just different. It's just me. But if you are truly a child of God, God gives the grace to overcome sin. And we can be overcomers because God is faithful. Amen.